Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
I want you to take your Bibles and open them up to 2 Samuel chapter 16. 2 Samuel 16, and I'd like to dismiss the children to Children's Church at this time. 2 Samuel chapter 16. David's authority as king has been usurped by his own son. There are two main characters in these passages that we've been in the last few weeks, and that's David and his son Absalom. Absalom played the politician and stood at the gate and said, "Oh, if I was the king of Israel." He eventually, over a period of time, became more popular than his father David, who was God's choice to be the king. A carefully enacted plan was developed in which Absalom asked his father if he could go to Hebron to worship. But rather than going to worship, Absalom declared himself the king. He usurped the kingdom from his father David, who was the rightful king according to God's plan for Israel. Absalom had positioned a strong military and diplomatic group of leaders to declare the kingdom be given to him. David faced the fact that he was outnumbered and would have to leave Jerusalem. It was at this point that he found out who his real friends were. Some were comrades, some were charlatans, and some were critics. But David still worshiped Yahweh and trusted in him to fight his battles. Now, last week we saw how David responded to these different people. But what eventually happened? That's what we're going to look at today. I tell you what happened, ladies and gentlemen, the same thing that always happens to those that are rebellious towards God and His will. Eventually, they will fail. Now, as we look around us, we don't always see the failure of those who rebel against God. Their failure may ultimately come in eternity. But God, in His mercy, many times allows those who rebel against Him to have time to repent. This is the long-suffering we see in the Lord Jesus. This is the greatness of the gospel. Aren't you glad that you're not getting what you deserve? Amen? Because of the long-suffering of God, even in our rebellion, Jesus Christ has had mercy upon us. But nevertheless, in today's passage, it reminds us that you need bedrock counsel from God. If you rebel against God, you will fail. I want us to learn about it as we look at the message, the failure of Absalom. The failure of Absalom. And I want to read some selected texts here in chapter 16, 17, and 18 as we move along in the scriptures today. 2 Samuel chapter 16, I want you to look at verse 15. 2 Samuel 16, 15. "Meanwhile, Absalom and all the people, the men of Israel, came to Jerusalem, and Ahithophel was with him. And so it was when Hushai the Archite, David's friend, came to Absalom, that Hushai said to Absalom, 'Long live the king, long live the king.' So Absalom said to Hushai, 'Is this your loyalty to your friend?'" He's referring to David. Why did you not go with your friend? "And Hushai said to Absalom, 'No, but whom the Lord and this people and all the men of Israel choose, his I will be, and with him I will remain. Furthermore, whom should I serve? Should I not serve in the presence of his son, as I have served in your father's presence? So will I be in your presence.'" Now, in that passage of Scripture, we're reminded that David had some counselors. He had some comrades, some friends, and one of them was this man, Hushai. Hushai went to David, and David said, "I think you can be better. you can better serve me if you go ahead and go back to Jerusalem with Absalom. So I want you to get the picture here. Absalom has rebelled against David. He has usurped David's authority. He has run David out of Jerusalem. And now Absalom is in Jerusalem, and he has two main counselors, Ahithophel and Hushai. Hushai is really David's friend, and he's there to help David in the whole situation. Let's look at chapter 17, verse 1. Moreover, Ahithophel said to Absalom, "Now let me choose 12,000 men, and I will arise and pursue David tonight. And I will come upon him while he is weary and weak and make him afraid, and all the people who are with him will flee, and I will strike only the king." Absalom had asked Ahithophel, "What should I do? What should I do?" And so Ahithophel says, "Let me gather 12,000 men and go strike him quickly." Verse 3, this is chapter 17, verse 3. "Then I will bring back all the people to you. When all return except the man who you seek, all the people will be at peace." And the saying pleased Absalom and all the elders of Israel. That was one counsel that he had. Verse 5, "Then Absalom said, 'Now call Hushai the Archite also, and let us hear what he says too.'" Verse 6, "And when Hushai came to Absalom, Absalom spoke to him, saying, 'Ahithophel has spoken in this manner. Shall we do as he says? If not, speak up.' So Hushai said to Absalom, 'The advice that Ahithophel has given is not good at this time.'" Verse 14, this is 2 Samuel 17:14. "So Absalom and all the men of Israel said, 'The advice of Hushai the Archite is better than the advice of Ahithophel. For the Lord had purposed to defeat the good advice of Ahithophel to the intent that the Lord might bring disaster on Absalom.'" Hushai said, "No, let's wait and gather a large army. Take the time to gather a large army." Well, actually, that was giving David time to get away, and David and his men time to go and establish a place of refuge where they could home base out of. Ahithophel said, "Let's go get him now." Hushai said, "No, let's wait." And actually, Hushai was used of God to protect David in those days. Now, I want you to look at verse 15 of chapter 17. "Then Hushai said to Zadok and Abiathar the priest, 'Thus and so Ahithophel advised Absalom and the elders of Israel, and thus and so I have advised. Now therefore send quickly and tell David, saying, do not spend this night in the plains of the wilderness, but speedily cross over, lest the king and all the people who are with him be swallowed up.'" Now Jonathan and Ahimaaz stayed in En-Rogel, for they dared not be seen coming into the city. So a female servant would come and tell them, and they would go and tell King David. Nevertheless, a lad saw them and told Absalom. But both of them went away quickly and came to a man's house at Baruim, who had a well in his court, and they went down into the well. They hid out in this well. Then the woman took and spread a covering over the well's mouth and spread ground grain on it, and the thing was not known. And when Absalom's servants came to the woman at the house, they said, 'Where are Ahimaaz and Jonathan?' So the woman said to them, 'They have gone over the water brook.' And when they had searched and could not find them, they returned to Jerusalem." Now I want you to go to chapter 18. Flip over to chapter 18, verse 5. Chapter 18, verse 5. We come now to the place where Absalom had listened to Hushai. He had not gone out immediately, but he had gathered this big army, and now they're in battle in chapter 18, verse 5. "Now the king had commanded Joab, Abishai, and Ittai, saying, 'Deal gently for my sake with the young man Absalom.' And all the people heard when the king gave all the captain's orders concerning Absalom." David was talking to his men. He said, "We're going into battle. I want you to go easy on Absalom." Even in Absalom's rebellion, David was very loving and David was very merciful to his son Absalom, who was rebelling. Verse 6, "So the people went out in the field of battle against Israel, and the battle was in the woods of Ephraim. The people of Israel were overthrown there before the servants of David, and a great slaughter of 20,000 took place there that day. For the battle there was scattered over the face of the whole countryside, and the woods devoured more people that day than the sword devoured. Then Absalom met the servants of David. Absalom rode on a mule. The mule went under the thick boughs of the great terebinth tree, and his head caught in the terebinth. So he was left hanging between heaven and earth. And the mule which was under him went on. He was going along and his hair got caught in branches. You know, you remember last time we read about his long hair. He had this long hair that he would cut and it weighed. It was very heavy. The scripture talked about how much it weighed. And so he got caught in this tree. Verse number 10. Now a certain man saw it and told Joab and said, I just saw Absalom hanging in the terebinth tree. So Joab said to the man who told him, you just saw him, and why did you not strike him there to the ground? I would have given you 10 shekels of silver and a belt. But the man said to Joab, though I were to receive 1,000 shekels of silver in my hand, I would not raise my hand against the king's son. For in our hearing, the king commanded you and Abishai and Ittai, saying, beware lest anyone touch the young man Absalom. Otherwise, I would have dealt falsely against my own life, for there is nothing hidden from the king, and you yourself would have set yourself against me. He said, I saw him hanging in the tree. I could have killed him, but I wasn't going to do it because I heard the king say, go easy, take it easy on Absalom. Verse number 14, then Joab said, I cannot linger with you. And he took 3 spears in his hand and thrust them through Absalom's heart while he was still alive in the midst of the terebinth tree. And 10 young men who bore Joab's armor surrounded Absalom and struck and killed him. Verse 16. So Joab blew the trumpet, and the people returned from pursuing Israel, for Joab held back the people. So Absalom dies in chapter 18. And now David is heading back to Jerusalem. And chapter 19 is about David's return to his place of kingship. I want you to look at chapter 19, verse 24. We're covering a ton of scripture here, but I'm not reading it all, but I'm trying to fill in the gaps here. Chapter 19, verse 24 says this. Now Mephibosheth, you remember Mephibosheth? Mephibosheth, the son of Saul, came down to meet the king, and he had not cared for his feet, nor trimmed his mustache, nor washed his clothes from the day the king departed until the day he returned in peace. So it was when he was come to Jerusalem to meet the king that the king said to him, why did you not go with me, Mephibosheth? Now you remember Ziba, his servant, had told David that Mephibosheth was staying in Jerusalem to be on Absalom's side because he said that now my father Jonathan's kingdom is going to be restored. Well, as it turns out, that was not truthful. And we see in verse 25, so it was when he had come to Jerusalem to meet the king that the king said, why did you not go with me, Mephibosheth? Verse 26, and he answered, my lord, O king, my servant deceived me. For your servant said, I will saddle a donkey for myself that I may ride on it and go to the king because your servant is lame. And he had slandered your servant to my lord the king. But my lord the king is like an angel of God. Therefore do what is good in your eyes. For all my father's house were but dead men before my lord the king. Yet you set your servant among those who eat at your own table. Therefore what might I have still to cry out any more to the king? So the king said to him, why do you speak any more of your matters? I have said, you and Ziba divide the land. So David gave Mephibosheth back a half of his land. Then Mephibosheth said to the king, rather, let him take all, inasmuch as my lord the king has come back in peace to his own house. And so chapter 19 is the recovery of the kingdom to David. Now, I want us to focus on the big picture of Absalom and the big picture of his failure. How do you characterize the failure of Absalom? And ladies and gentlemen, this is convicting in our lives when we rebel against God's ways and God's truth. Praise God that in God's mercy, God is long-suffering and He waits for us to repent and turn to Jesus Christ and give our lives to Him. But Absalom's failure was characterized, first of all, by his unfounded counsel. Number one, his unfounded counsel. I want you to turn back to chapter 16, and as we read in verse 20, I want you to see what Ahithophel had been David's counselor. Ahithophel was a traitor. Ahithophel was one of these kind of counselors that goes like this: whichever way the wind blows is the way I'm going to go. Whatever seems to benefit me is the way I'm going to give counsel. And ladies and gentlemen, today there's a lot of wind blowing in our individual lives as far as how we ought to live, what ought to be the foundation. I want to submit to you, Ahithophel had no foundation. And can I tell you this? The loneliest moment in life is when you go what you think is the right way, but is not founded upon bedrock truth, and you realize you get what you thought you wanted, but it's lacking. It's wanting. Ahithophel was a traitor counselor. And one of the reasons that Absalom failed is he had unfounded counsel. I want to ask you a question. Who do you go to for counsel? Do you go to the Word of God, or are you listening to everybody else's opinion? I said to you last week about the lady who called her neighbor and said, "Oh, I'm just having such a tough time in my marriage." And the lady said, "Oh, come on over, honey. I've had three husbands. Just come on. I want to talk to you about it." That's not where you go to counsel. You go to the Word of God for counsel. Amen, church? So here was unfounded counsel. Now look at what Ahithophel did. I want you to see in chapter 16, verse 20. Absalom said to Ahithophel, he had just gotten to Jerusalem. Give advice as to what we should do. Verse 21, and Ahithophel said to Absalom, "Go into your father's concubines, who he has left to keep the house, and all Israel will hear that you are abhorred by your father. Then the hands of all who are with you will be strong." So they pitched a tent for Absalom on top of the house. And Absalom went into his father's concubines in the sight of all Israel. Now the advice of Ahithophel, which he gave in those days, was as if one had inquired at the oracle of God. So was all the advice of Ahithophel, both with David and with Absalom. People thought Ahithophel had the greatest counsel. So what did he tell him to do? He said, "I want you to take all of David's concubines, and I want you to pitch a tent in front of God and everybody, and I want you to be immoral with all of them." Now, why did he do that? First of all, it would make his rebellion public. Can I tell you this, folks? This hit me between the eyes this week as I was studying this. You know what Satan wants you to do? Satan wants you to go public with your rebellion. He wants you to go public with it. Because when you go public with it, it's irreversible, or it seems to be irreversible. He wants to back us in a corner. Kelly's daddy used to always tell me, when you're thinking about making a decision, if it's of the Lord, you have time to make the decision. If you feel rushed, if you feel pressured, if you feel backed into a corner, normally that's Satan's plan. So it would make the rebellion public. It would make it irreversible. It would back him into a corner. And then it would strengthen the will of those following Absalom and his rebellion. And so this is the kind of unfounded counsel. Can I say this to you? Ahithophel was a smart man. Ahithophel knew that God had ordained David to be the king of Israel. See, Ahithophel was not founded upon the truth of God. And that's what our counsel needs to give. Now, I read in chapter 17 that Ahithophel wanted Absalom to go attack immediately. That really, militarily, would have been the best option for Absalom. But Hushai, who was David's friend, who was also a counselor, convinced him to wait. The point is that Absalom didn't know who to trust. Can I tell you this? Here's what rebellion does to you. Rebellion causes you to make decisions and you have no basis of why you're making the decision that you're making. The point is that Absalom didn't know who to trust. How do you know who to trust? It better be counsel based upon the Word of God. Now, you can listen to God or you can listen to people. But the Scripture says this, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night." Here's some application just from this point that the Lord hit me with. Number one, when you have a decision to make, start off by committing to the Word of God. I don't care if all the world seems against me, I'm going with the Word of God. You filter your decision making through the Word of God. The second thing I would do is I would say this, who are the godliest people you know? You have a decision to make. I've said this to folks through the years, those seeking to know whether this is the person I should marry, folks wondering what college I should go to, wondering whether I should participate in this or not participate in this. Folks, we all have decisions to make, every one of us. We make hundreds of decisions daily. How do you get counsel? I would say this, start off by committing to the Word of God. Filter it through the Word of God. And then I would say this, name the godliest people you know, the people you respect the most, and you ask them their counsel. But ultimately, you must obey the voice of God. Absalom's failure was characterized because he had unfounded counsel. But here's the second thing. You see that God's providence was working against him. God's providence was working against him. And ladies and gentlemen, when we rebel against God, I want you to know that the very providence of God will work against us. In chapter 17, verse 14, "So Absalom and all the men of Israel said, the advice of Hushai the Archite is better than the advice of Ahithophel." And then it says this, look, "For the Lord had purposed to defeat the good advice of Ahithophel, to the intent that the Lord might bring disaster on Absalom." I'll give you some examples of what happened to Absalom because he was rebelling against God and rebelling against God's ways. Hushai's counsel was taken. God orchestrated that. Hushai in chapter 17, verses 15 and following, was able to warn David. The Bible says that gave him time, and through Zadok and Abiathar the priests, and through their children, they were able to go to get to this lady. This lady got the word to David, and she said, "Do not rest right here. Go on across the Jordan, because Absalom is coming after you." All of this was a result of the providence of God. Hey, can I make a statement that's obvious? You don't want to go against the providence of God, ladies and gentlemen. You will not win when you go against God that way. They hid from Absalom's men in the well, and they got away with that. God protected them. God caused Absalom's men not to find them in the well. In chapter 17, verse 23, I want you to look at this. This is one we didn't read. Verse 22, let me go back to verse 22, chapter 17, verse 22, it says, "So David and all the people who were with him arose and crossed over the Jordan. By morning light, not one of them was left who had not gone over the Jordan." In other words, he got the message, they're gathering an army, "David, you better get over the Jordan." And so this verse tells us they went over the Jordan. Look what happened to Ahithophel. "Now when Ahithophel saw that his advice was not followed, he saddled a donkey and arose and went home to his house, to his city. Then he put his household in order and hanged himself and died. And he was buried in his father's tomb. Many of the commentators say this Ahithophel's the Old Testament Judas. Judas was in the presence of Jesus Christ, and Judas, for 30 pieces of silver, sold the Lord Jesus out to the religious leaders who wanted to imprison and kill the Lord Jesus. And what did Judas do? He went out and hanged himself. Ahithophel was in the presence of David, God's anointed, a man after God's own heart. And yet when Absalom usurped his authority, Ahithophel went against David and aligned himself with a traitor, with Absalom. When his advice was not taken, he went out and hanged himself. The other thing that you see here is Absalom's defeat. We see, and we read about it, where the scripture talks about in chapter 18 that Absalom was defeated and Absalom was killed. Ladies and gentlemen, the characterization, the characteristic of Absalom's defeat was that God's providence was working against him. You can't overcome the force of the providence of Almighty God. Not only was his life characterized by unfounded counsel and by God's providence working against him, but you also see history passing him by. Outside of a few references, Absalom is gone from history in terms of Scripture. One of the saddest verses in the Bible to me is when Samson finally gives away his secret. He was a Nazarite. This is a whole nother sermon, but it reminded me of this. He gave away his secret, and there's a scripture that says this. When she cut his hair, he did not know that the Lord had left him. Do you realize, ladies and gentlemen, that sometimes we can come to a point in our rebellion that we're just going through life and we're missing what God wants to do through us and in us? Absalom just had history pass him by because of his rebellion. In chapter 18, verses 9 through 18, Absalom dies. Joab takes those three spears, and as Absalom gets his hair caught in that tree, and he's hanging there. Can you imagine what that was like? That donkey kept on going, and here he was hanging in that tree, and those guys saw him. What fear must have gripped his heart to know he was there helpless. He couldn't get down, and those men had seen him. And they went and told Joab, and Joab took three spears and ran those spears through his heart. History passing Absalom by. David hears of his death. I want you to look in chapter 18, verses 19 and 20. Chapter 18, verses 19 and 20. The scripture says this. After they had won the battle, it says this, then Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok, said, let me run now and take the news to the king. See, King David was not on the battlefield. He didn't know that they had won yet. How the Lord has avenged him of his enemies. Verse 20, and Joab said to him, you shall not take the news this day, for you shall take the news another day, but today you shall take no news because the king's son is dead. I don't want you to be the one to take it. He was Zadok's son, and he loved David. He wanted to be the runner to take him the news. Verse 21, then Joab said to the Cushite, and many believe this was one of Joab's servants. He said, I want my servant to go. He said, I want you to go tell the king what you have seen. So the Cushite bowed himself to Joab and ran. Now here you're going to see a foot race. Tell me the Bible's not exciting. All right? You got a race going here. Verse 22. And Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok, said again to Joab, but whatever happens, please let me also run after the Cushite. So Joab said, why will you run, my son, since you have no news ready? But whatever happens, he says, let me run. So he said to him, run. Then Ahimaaz ran by the way of the plain and outran the Cushite. Ahimaaz was so, he wanted to run, he wanted to go tell David that they had won the victory. And so the Cushite went one way, scholars say over the mountain, and Ahimaaz went another way, which was actually longer, but it was in the plain, and he outran him. This is interesting. And verse 24, this is chapter 18, verse 24. Now David was sitting between the two gates, and the watchman went up to the roof over the gate, to the wall, lifted his eyes and looked, and there was a man running alone. It's almost like you see these guys coming into the stadium in a run. Then the watchman cried out and told the king, and the king said, if he is alone, there is news in his mouth. And he came rapidly to draw near. Then the watchman saw another man running. And the watchman called to the gatekeeper and said, there is another man running alone. And the king said, he also brings news. So the watchman says, I think the running of the first is like the running of Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok. And the king said, he is a good man and comes with good news. So Ahimaaz called out and said to the king, all is well. Then he bowed down with his face to the earth before the king and said, blessed be the Lord your God who has delivered up the men who raised his hand against my lord the king. The king said, is the young man Absalom safe? Isn't it interesting that even though his son had rebelled, his heart broke for his son. He wanted to know about his son. What about Absalom? Ahimaaz answered, when Joab sent the king's servant and me your servant, I saw a great tumult, but I did not know what it was about. And the king said, turn aside and stand here. So he turned aside and stood still. Just then the Cushite came, and the Cushite said, there is good news, my lord the king, for the Lord has avenged you this day of all those who rose against you. And the king said to the Cushite, is the young man Absalom safe? So the Cushite answered, may the enemies of my lord the king and all who rise against you to do harm be like that young man. And at that moment, the Cushite had told David that Absalom was dead. The following verses in the end of chapter 18 and 19 display the mourning of David. And then in chapter 19, he returns to Jerusalem. But our point here is that history passed by the life of Absalom. We have a few references to Absalom later on, just a few when it's talking about genealogies. But in terms of any impact, Absalom's life, his history is over. We see that David comes back to the land, David meets Mephibosheth, and David is established as the king. It's a rough road, but David is established as the king. History passed by Absalom. 1945, Billy Graham wasn't the only young preacher packing auditoriums. Chuck Templeton, in 1946, in an article from the National Association of Evangelicals, they called Chuck Templeton, he was in America the most used of God preacher. He was the feature article, and Billy Graham was not mentioned. Both of those men were used with Youth for Christ in preaching all over the country. There was another preacher that was a contemporary of Billy Graham in 1945. His name was Bron Clifford. One seminary president said he's the most talented man in America today for preaching. He preached at Baylor University. The president ordered the bells silenced so that Clifford could preach uninterrupted. For 2 hours and 15 minutes, he preached to a packed audience on Christ and the Philosopher's Stone. Three men in 1945 went out of the gate like a rocket. 5 years later, Templeton left the ministry to pursue a career in television. In 1954, Bron Clifford lost it all because of alcohol and financial irresponsibility. At age 35, he died of cirrhosis of the liver in a rundown motel on the edge of Amarillo, Texas. John Hagee, the pastor, said this about Clifford: he died unwept, unhonored, and unsung. In the Christian life, ladies and gentlemen, it's not how you start, but it's how you finish. And you finish with the counsel of God, with founded counsel. That's very, very important. You see, history can pass us by. But the grace of God shows us that even in our rebellion, God grants grace. Amen? I want you to think about Peter. I love Peter because Peter spoke sometimes more often than he should have, and he was bold. But at one night, he wasn't bold. The night that they arrested Jesus, he warmed his hand by the fire of the soldiers, and they said, "Hey, don't we know you?" And he said, "Oh, no, I'm not around this man. I don't know him." And they said a second time, the damsel said, "But wait a minute, weren't you with him?" He said, "No, I wasn't." They said, "Wait a minute, didn't we see you there?" And he used profanity. He said, "I don't know the bleak man." But we read later where Jesus said, "Go tell them that I've risen, and tell Peter the mercy of God." I want you to think about the Apostle Paul, who was killing those that followed the way. And on the road to Damascus, Jesus Christ saved Paul. No matter what you've done, you don't have to give up hope that God will take you back. You know, in the story of the prodigal son, he took all that he had, went out and squandered it all. He lost all of his friends. He lost it all. And God took him, the Father took him back. He'll take you back. I can tell you on the authority of Scripture, and I can tell you from my own life, God took me in my rebellion as a 16-year-old teenager thinking I knew what life was all about. I wanted to go my own way. Don't tell me what to do. With a single parent mom who was trying to keep me going in school and trying to keep me in the road. Things I did and things I said and thoughts I had. And one glorious day, when life got so low and I wondered what in the world would life be about for me, I heard the story of Jesus Christ and His love. And as a teenager, I said, "Lord, I don't understand it all, but all I know is that this rings true in my heart, that You are the Son of God, that You lived and died and You rose again, and that if I put my faith and trust in You, You will change my life and You will save me." And praise God, down there in Leesburg, Florida, a little south of there, around a lake they call Lake Yale, Jesus Christ came into my life and save me out of my rebellion. I'd like us to bow our heads and hearts in prayer.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.